been found by a court to be a danger to themselves or others. You might just want to know.
And respectfully, we do understand that.
But you're asking about...
I'm asking specifically about handguns, because many of those handguns are purchased in places.
Universal background checks apply to handguns.
Yes.
They do.
But in many instances, those handguns aren't even bought lawfully. Yes.
Which is why I also have been very adamant for years. In fact, I myself protested at a gun show probably 10, 15 years ago about the gun show loophole and why we need to close that. Because what ends up happening is that gun shows at flea markets, gun dealers are not, under existing law in the past, required to register their sales.
That's the swallowing?
Oh, gosh.
Always. She does it all the time. Now, is this something that women pick up that women do? Or is it worse because I have my headphones on right next to my eardrums and I just hear that swallow and I go...
I don't think so, because I think, like at the debate night, we were talking about that. I picked
just
up
dry
on,
mouth.
Yeah. And something. I think it's nervousness.
Yes.
I think that's... because she does it at all these types of interviews.
If you're talking to somebody and they keep swallowing and like doing the wince face where you're trying to like pull saliva in your mouth, is disgusting. Aren't you like thinking... I can totally own this conversation.
No, because I'm the swallowing heart guy. I'm the guy who needs water whenever I'm speaking at a pulpit or something. I always do.
Mm-hmm.
Not on the radio, though. Isn't that amazing? You just kind of get used to it. Not nervous here.
But Kamala Harris is trying to present her bona fides on her gun stance, which is funny because they keep going back and forth. I think it's important that we do understand the breadth of information. This is from her when she was the attorney general in California.
Harmful behaviors among everybody in the community, and just because you legally possess a gun in the sanctity of your locked home doesn't mean that we're not going to walk into that home and check to see if you're being responsible and safe in the way you conduct your affair.
Kamala Harris wants you to know that just because you have guns in the sanctity of your home, that she wants you to know that they can still come in to check to see if you're being, checks notes, responsible.
Seems fair to me. Seems fair to me.
You want to flesh that? Get the wrinkles out of this.
So you're just sitting there. You're watching some TV.
What are you watching?
Probably sports.
Gunsmoke?
Matlock.
I don't know. The new Matlock with Kathy Bates, maybe. You're probably just sitting there watching that and just having a fine old time. And Kamala Harris or her goons in sunglasses come in and they say, "Hey, how you doing here? Just want to make sure you're being responsible with your gun." What do you have to be afraid of? You're already being responsible. Why can't somebody come in and demand to see that you're being responsible?
Brett?
I hate... everything about it. Ryan, that's hilarious, but I hate everything about it.
Ryan,
I mean,
that's
there's
hilarious,
so
but...
many violations there. Second Amendment right violations. What is it? Fourth
Unlawful
Amendment?
Unlawful search and seizure is a big one.
Yeah. Jeez. And she thinks, just don't think. And I'm like, who do you think you are? You're the attorney general of the state of California
harmful
at that
behaviors.
Time.
Among everybody in the community, and just because you legally possess a gun in the sanctity of your locked home doesn't mean that we're not going to walk into that home and check to see if you're being responsible and safe in the way you conduct your affair.
Worst vice principal ever.
She says locked.
Did you say vice principal?
Yeah, you did. I don't know if you meant to. She says locked home. She didn't say, like, we're just going to knock on the door.
That's the first test, Ryan, because if they come up and they come to your house and the door just opens... that's strike one.
Strike one on you.
Yeah, if they come in unannounced and you're like, I'm being broken into, and you start using your Second Amendment rights to defend yourself, you're like, that's not being responsible. You're going to jail.
You're sitting... the wording she uses isn't even like good Democrat language.
No, it's totalitarian.
You're sitting in the sanctity of your locked home.
I think...
we're going to come in.
That was from the late 2000s.
Yeah.
Maybe 2007 or 2008.
Yeah, because in that video, Gavin Newsom is standing right next to us, and I think that was in San Francisco.
Do you remember... every time I hear that, San Francisco, I always think of Elf... where they're like, Francisco. Do you remember that part?
Yes, of course.
That's
I
all
do.
I hear. And then
I didn't know that's where you're going with it, though.
And then I get sidetracked. I know it's a problem.
Francisco. Francisco. It's a treat.
Does it matter? Like, can these be her 20, 07 thoughts and now they're not important anymore. There are a lot of things that people want to throw at Donald Trump that he did when he was A, not a politician, yeah. B, not a Republican, and C, you know, like the Central Park Five, which is one of the things that gets thrown at him the most yeah. from a racist standpoint. He was none of those things, politician, Republican, running for office or anything like that. And from my understanding, the Central Park Five, was it the prosecuting attorney was a person of color.
Mm-hmm.
The anticipate that they were expected to be guilty. Donald Trump acted in that regard was wrong. So, I mean, you can certainly be wrong in the past, but all of the things that they want to throw at Donald Trump from his past must stick. But Kamala Harris's actually policy points when she was in an elected office in the state of California acting as the attorney general, we're supposed to be like, oh, that was 15 years ago. That doesn't count.
Attorney General, the chief law enforcement officer of the state of California. It's her job to uphold the laws of California and the Constitution.
You absolutely can change policy positions. It's not impossible to do that. But if you're in public office and you're rising, you know, you've gone from being a, you know, local candidate to now running for president of the United States, you got to explain the journey that you went on to arrive at a different place.
Yeah.
Her journey consists of, 2 months ago, I believe this. Now I'm running for president.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's not a good journey.
Yeah, you can't just... especially
who you are.
Well, yeah.
That could be a great journey.
It's working so far.
But especially something like that where she's talking about violating your Second and Fourth Amendment rights. You can't just hand wave that away. You have to explain why you thought it then and why you were wrong.
Did you say Fourth Amendment rights?
Isn't it illegal searches and
seizures? It is, but I'm just surprised that that's the one you choose because there are multiple... This is a multiple choice question, usually probably D, all of the above.
Yeah.
I thought you'd be more on the 2A.
I said 2A as well.
But okay. Because, I mean, the Fourth Amendment is 100%
yeah.
in play in this one.
But, like, you can't just hand wave that away. You have to go back and explain, well, here's why I was wrong. And if you say, I wasn't actually wrong anymore, I just don't think that's the right way of going about it. That's still disqualifying. Because that means you still believe what you said in that moment.
Brad, so far, her answer has been, I may tweak policies here and there, but I'm the exact same.
My values are the same.
My heart of hearts hasn't moved. I still would like to maybe come into your house and take things from you. It's just for communism now instead of for guns.
People are making a lot over this my values haven't changed remark as if it's like not true. She values Kamala.
Yeah, that's a typical politician.
That's how
yeah,
they haven't changed. I mean, she can say that with a straight face because it might be the only truth she's talked about.
Yeah, I appreciate her telling the truth for once.
Yeah.
Thank you for not changing your values. Your values are elections.
One day, you can't keep up with Joe Biden. The next day, you are trying to replace Joe Biden. It's amazing.
It is amazing to think that within the last, month and a half, you go back and people who are now talking about her and how amazing she is and all these whatever, you know, these media people and Washington people.
Though, people talking about how amazing she is. There aren't that many people doing that.
Media people, Washington people. I'm putting the disclaimer
it's
here.
It's even kind of scratching the bottom of the barrel on that one.
But what my point is, those same people a month and a half ago, this is
you
not
went into Jerry Seinfeld
long.
There for a second.
I'm going to continue. This is not long ago. There's a supercut out there of them saying, Joe Biden, are you kidding me? The dude's sharp as a tack. And it's over and over and over. He's unstoppable. He's so smart. I'm Joe Scarborough. I should know.
This is the best version of Joe Biden.
How soulless. Like, what do you think when they look in the mirror in the morning, what are they thinking?
How do we get Democrats elected?
That's it.
I had a thought while you guys were having this discussion. And it's the first time I've had this thought. It was very fleeting. And I don't want to think about it too much because I really don't want to be wrong. But have you guys considered, first of all, if Donald Trump wins the election, like, I'm not prepared for that. I'm not emotionally prepared for 4 years of Donald Trump being the president again. Because we have had to stand strong and assess and react to policies that we think are the opposite of what needs to happen for 3.5 years now. And it has not been what I would call fun. We try to have fun mm-hmm. while still addressing the needs of the country to know what is going on, to keep you informed. But we also have to have a big emphasis on exhaling throughout the course of our show. It's a big part of what we do, and we hope that you like that we do that. I'm not emotionally prepared to have to switch over because I've done the Trump thing too. I've been on the air. When Donald Trump was the president, we had access to some of the highest people in the federal government mm-hmm. who would come on our show and talk to us on a regular basis. Biden gets elected, that's gone.
Mm-hmm.
We talked to a lot of people who were in the Donald Trump yeah. administration. They still come talk to us, but nobody in the Biden administration wants to talk to us. So the show is going to change, God willing, again, if Donald Trump gets in office. But have you considered that once Donald Trump wins in November, that we are not going to have to talk about Kamala Harris at all anymore?
That's amazing. That's amazing.
I have not thought about that.
Isn't that a good thought?
I have not thought about that.
Ryan and I had this conversation. This goes back to the hard swallow because I mentioned this to him. I said, all other things aside, I don't know that I could sit through 4 years of having to cut audio of listening to her do the hard swallow before she answers a question.
But I mean, I haven't considered she's not running for president. You know, like if J.D. Vance were running for president and he didn't win, he would go back to being a senator. Mm-hmm. He'd still be relevant.
Right.
But and he'd still make it into our day every once in a while, potentially. I don't think that if Donald Trump doesn't win that he's going to be inconsequential. I think he'll still be around. He'll still be the leader of the Republican Party. And God willing, if we have a different candidate in 2028, because he would be 82 or something at that yeah. point. If we had a different candidate, that candidate will have to be handed the mantle from Donald Trump. But if Kamala Harris loses, she gone. Until she does something else. Maybe she runs again in 2028. But for the amount of attention that Kamala Harris gets in my brain on a daily basis, because she's running, rightfully so, out of respect to the candidate for the Democratic Party that they very diplomatically chose, I have to pay attention to her. I have to listen to her. I am not a fan at all of Kamala Harris. I never have been. I remember the day she dropped out of the presidential race right before Iowa. And I was elated because I was like, all right, let's move on and let's get to the nuts and bolts of the rest of this race. And when Joe Biden came out and said, I need to pick a woman of color for my vice presidential candidate, I was like, don't pick Kamala. And that's what sealed the deal. I think that was personal. That was terrible.
Yeah.
But just during this conversation, during this segment today, is the first time I realized if she loses, we can move on.
You know, what will they criticize, though? They will find something. Don't get me wrong. This is the media. They hate Donald Trump. They'll find something. But the facts will be the major things. Inflation is not going to be worse. The border is not going to be worse. You're going to be comparing everything to the last 4 years. Maybe the economy does dip here soon, maybe at the beginning of a Donald Trump presidency. Crime, you think that the numbers there are going to be worse? Almost everything that you can analyze is going to be better under Donald Trump. So the attacks will be ad hominem, which is easy to do against Trump. Don't mm-hmm. get me wrong. But the facts will be there.
Yeah. And I think maybe the people might be a little bit inoculated to the attacks on the ad hominem attacks. They're like, yeah, but things are better. Objectively better. I don't care that he said something mean.
If he wins, that's proof that they are immune mm-hmm. to it already. So the presidency won't matter at that point. They can say whatever they want.
In their own inherent right.
In their own inherent right. Thank you very much. Back to the first hour of the show. Get the podcast.
Maybe.
Maybe.
At some point. Yeah. Would you vote for a woman president? That's the YouTube live chat poll. Come to the Annie Fry YouTube channel and tell us. I got a couple of lists here that we're going to get to. You guys get to pick which one you want to do first. 10 old-fashioned things Gen X people refuse to do anymore. And the other one is 7 mistakes people with poor social skills make in conversations without realizing it. Old-fashioned Gen X stuff or poor social skills in conversation?
I think poor social skills in conversation. We need to get that one in.
Brad, okay.
Poor social skills.
When we come back, see if you're making these 7 mistakes. Go vote in the YouTube channel on whether or not you would vote for a woman for president, yes or no. Guys and gals, we need to know what you think. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. So we've got a list here, and it's 7 mistakes people with poor social skills make in conversations. And then it says without realizing it. I think that the three of us have good communication skills by profession, but would you agree? Why are you smiling like that?
I don't think that I have the greatest social skills.
Did I say communication skills or social skills?
Yes, you said communication skills.
Well, that's different than social skills.
I thought you were going to say social skills.
No. So we've established that Brad's social skills suck.
Yeah, this is
that
this
was
is
an
embarrassing.
That was inadvertent. Don't have bad social skills.
Maybe not. I don't know.
There's a lot of awkward. Yeah, a lot of long pauses.
How are you guys feeling right now?
Not great.
I don't know if this is brilliant or really, really bad. No, I don't think you have bad social skills. I think we're good communicators. That's what we have to be. But it is kind of hard to be the person who has to command a room for 3 hours. Or like you, Ryan, you have to kind of like wait to be thrown to.
Speak when spoken to.
And then just like, why do you say it like that? I don't like the way you're looking at me.
It's just the rules. Those are the rules that I've been told by the host.
That's not true. I don't think. Is it?
Just through body language.
It's just implied.
And I'm like, okay, I'll interpret that as
Do you remember that whole skit from Austin Powers?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
This is going great.
No, I'm just trying to replay that skit in my head. I forgot I had to keep talking. Let's go back to me talking about my good communication skills.
Yeah, you're great. The premise of this is we're all really good at this.
You can command a room. You have a show on the weekends, Ryan. And so you have to carry that. And you know how to move a conversation. Does it become a problem for you if you're in a social environment? Do you ever take over? Or do you realize that you have deemed yourself the host of the conversation around in social situations?
Yeah, I have. In fact, my default is to kind of take over to make sure everything, like the conversation's running smoothly, that everything's going fine.
It's not so much about the amount that you talk, but it's the flow.
Making sure, everybody's got a good flow. I don't know why, but I do that. You know what was weird?
We talking about the same thing?
I'm not sure. But
find out.
Tell you what was weird. I was always that. Like in a workplace, typically, if you are a good communicator, people just kind of look to you to be the communicator if they're not good at it. Or if they're just average at it and you kind of have a big personality, you just kind of end up doing that, even if you're not trying to.
Do you have a big personality?
I think so. I don't try to, but I just kind of go big. When I started here at 97.1, I walked into meetings where for the first time, I was like, oh my gosh, I actually need to shut up. Everybody here is good at talking. I've never been in an environment like this before. It was intimidating to be around so many people who are good at carrying a conversation.
What is
that?
What does it mean to walk into that?
Well, for me, it was just deciding, okay, I'm just going to shut up finally.
You're talking about in a meeting. This is not on air.
No. This is just life. Like Mark Cox, I'm trying to think, Glover at the time, when I started here, I think Reardon eventually, you'd be in meetings and you'd be like, I don't need to say anything. Everybody's really good at carrying conversations. And I've never had that until I sat in those rooms.
Because you were the guy?
Because I was always the person doing it.
The number one thing on 7 mistakes people with poor social skills make in conversations without realizing it is dominating the conversation.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
I'm so concerned that I'm going to do that I actually will avoid being in specific conversations because I don't want to get into that place.
Your default is to dominate the conversation and you're trying to make sure you don't.
You know what it's like to have something to say?
Yes.
And people look at you because they expect you to speak. And I don't want to be in a position where, because of what I do for a living, that my words carry any more weight than anybody else who would be having that conversation in the room. So meetings or, even like Bible studies and stuff like that makes me nervous to be in big groups like that, because if a topic comes up and it starts to be discussed, and I'm sitting here like, well, I got some thoughts on that. If people know what I do, I don't want to be like a news talker making the comments. I just want to be another person in the room making the comments. And I worry that dominating the conversation could be demeaning to other people. I'm inferring a lot. I don't want people in the room to feel belittled by me, like I think that my opinion on things is so important. So I literally don't go to any meetings anymore, or I try to stay out of group
conversations. Yeah, I skip all meetings here.
We don't need to talk.
One thing I've noticed.
The ironic thing is Mark and I probably skip those two. There's so many talking.
One thing I've noticed that you've done over the last 4 or 5 years, 6 years that I've known you, is that you've stopped entering a room or a Bible study for that matter with a fog machine. Because originally you knew Annie was coming.
I literally almost interrupted you to say, is this serious or not?
It's, it is
dead
serious.
I didn't know.
That and the Alan Parsons Project playing.
Knock it off.
Yeah, the lights and stuff.
They have lasers.
She's let it go. She's got powder, throws it up in the air.
Mm-hmm. She's let that go, and I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Because it feels like I'm just talking to a person instead of a celebrity.
She's growing.
I agree. We should talk about this off air, though. Just me and you.
No, Brad. She deserves the praise for doing well.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, she tends to dominate a conversation. Here's where we kind of take a back seat and let her go.
Well, yeah, but I feel like she's doing a really good job right now because she's just letting us go.
Yeah, I do too.
Annie, you got anything to say?
She's literally learning. I would, for the record, I would appreciate the fog machine coming back.
I thought it was pretty epic.
I did too. I loved it. Maybe pick a little different music. Stuff you were doing kind of cliche. Getting kind of bored. What are you doing over there? Come on. Look, this is your opportunity. What are you doing?
She's getting ready to say something.
Yeah, we got to let this go. Annie's about to speak. Everybody shut up.
Starting at shooting guard, number 45.
43.
43.
Not
Annie,
not a shooting guard.
Fry.
Power forward.
Thanks for that.
You guys suck. I'm not dominating any conversation for the rest of the week.
We want you to.
No, you don't. It didn't sound like you wanted it.
We don't have the list. You have to lead this.
I don't want to dominate the conversation.
What's
the
second
point?
They
should have made that number 7, not number 1.
That was we've only gotten through 1 point on the list.
Yeah, it's a conundrum.
What are we going to do?
I don't know. What are you going to do?
Number 2. Let's go number 2. Let's play the Alan Parsons Project.
Here.
As we walk into the bathroom with the fog machine.
You go. Okay. There's the list. You have my phone and my wallet.
Number 2.
It away.
Not picking up on social cues. See, I would think Annie would have been better at this. We were literally telling her to keep talking, and she didn't do it. Not picking up on social cues.
Just trying to be humble.
Social cues are, if you're wondering what the definition is, subtle signals that people send out during conversations. Mm-hmm. They can be verbal or nonverbal. Mm-hmm. It can include things like body language, facial expressions, or tone of voice.
So, Ryan, picking up on social cues is important. Are you picking up on any social cues right now? Maybe some subtle body language or...
No, I think you're staring at me.
Okay.
I haven't noticed anything else in the room.
Just glance over like to your right.
Number
a little
3.
Bit.
This should be a testament to how good I am off the cuff, because I'm just getting this list. Number 3.
Come see how good I look.
Interrupting constantly. Nobody likes to be interrupted, and yet it's a common conversational faux pas committed by those with poor social skills.
That would be faux pas.
I don't know how you pronounce it in America. We say faux pas in France. Number 4.
How would you know?
Look,
I've never been to Europe either.
I can't go through my entire history here. Number 4, neglecting body language. Neglecting it. Seems a lot like
delivering
the other ones.
Delivering or reading?
Communication is not just verbal, it's also physical. See, it feels the same. Our body language speaks volumes about our feelings and attitudes, sometimes even more than words do. I invite you as a listener to tune in to the Annie Fry Show stream right now and see what kind of signals that Annie is giving off. If you've noticed, she's not talking as much, but she is communicating to the room. And if you'd like to see how that's going, tune into the live stream. Number 5, avoiding eye contact. Eye contact can be a tricky thing. too little. This is true. Too little, and you come across just like Trump.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I've been talking to you for 30 minutes, but this one, man, that's legit.
Too little, and you come across as disinterested or even dishonest. Here's where it gets weird. Too much, and you can seem overly intense or intimidating. Have you ever talked to somebody who has too much eye contact?
Yes.
I don't know, because I am guilty of too little.
Are you?
Oh, yes. I don't like looking at you right now.
Whoever wrote this says, I learned this the lesson the hard way during a job interview.
With too much or too little?
I don't know. Let's find out. I was so nervous that I kept my gaze fixed on the table from, too little. I was hoping for too much. Later, a friend who worked at the company told me that the interviewer found my lack of eye contact off-putting.
You do need to have the right amount of eye contact, but even for this conversation today, Ryan and I have had to try to figure out how to see each other in this studio, because the studio we're in right now is much smaller, and the way we have things set up, Ryan is directly behind a monitor, and so it's weirder to see one of your eyes than it is to see two of your eyes. So I'm kind of just, I know that you're here because I hear you in my headphones.
The article addresses this. They call it pirate eye contact.
Which one?
Only having one eye.
Oh, okay. I think you're full of crap.
I'll get back to the real article in just a second. Your husband, Jared, is texting me.
No, that's my phone.
Yeah, I know, but he's texting.
Not texting.
And I'm just talking to him as you. Number six, oversharing personal information. You definitely don't want to do that. We talked a lot about that yesterday. And the last one, number seven, failing to show empathy, which sometimes I feel like you always do.
Ironically turned into a roast on me. I had no idea that this was about Annie's seven mistakes.
Yeah, you're like Dean Martin. We're going to sell these DVDs for years.
The comedic genius.
Yeah, I hear the DVD business has happened.
The comedic genius that is Ryan Wiggins, and I don't know if you guys
Knock it off. I don't even know what else you're going to say.
Ryan violated every one of those rules as he was reading them. He's just in here doing all the worst stuff that he could possibly. He dominated
the
conversation.
Great idea to get him to stop by calling him a genius.
Oh, stop. I don't care about that kind of praise.
Now he's pirate.
It's like all you care about is that kind of praise.
Final reflection. It's a journey.
Give me my phone.
No, I want to finish the article now.
No.
Let me read this. It says, the philosopher Socrates once said, speak so that I may see you.
Put your hands down.
Annie.
Too much body language.
Our conversations reveal who we are. Our thoughts, our feelings.
This is like Kamala Harris talking. Our memorized lines.
Into our soul. Next time you're in a conversation, reflect on your approach. Are you making mistakes? Consider how you can improve.
Well, next time I'm in a conversation, I will consider your mistakes.
Thank you very much.
Oh, man. Would you vote for a woman for president? Yes or no? Any for our YouTube channel. The results at the end of the next segment when we come back. Don't go away. So in the time that we've been doing YouTube live chat polls, I don't know, it's been years, I guess, at this point. Do you remember the highest number of votes we've ever gotten on a poll before?
I was thinking it was about 3-4 billion.
Billion.
Is that off?
Inflation.
Yeah.
I was thinking it was around 400 or 500, wasn't it?
We have over 400 votes in today's poll.
Wow.
That's up there.
Let's go.
I mean, that's definitely in the top five response that we've ever had. And I was saying at the beginning of the show, one answer was dominating the other, and then no started ticking up. And as no was ticking up, our new subscribers were ticking up. So I think there seems to potentially be some sort of concerted effort to push in the direction of a more balanced approach, at least on response, but maybe not balanced on cognitive processing. So if you haven't done it yet, we need you to weigh in. It's the Annie Fry YouTube channel, and all you got to do is type in Annie Fry, F-R-E-Y, on YouTube, and you'll see we're broadcasting live. And when you open it up, there is a live chat attached to the live broadcast. And in the live chat, once you open that up on your phone, you can watch us on your phone anywhere you go on your YouTube app. You can watch us on your smart TV. That's fun. A lot of people watch us at home that way, or maybe have us on in the office that way. And you can check us out on the computer as well. Just find the live chat of the current live broadcast, and that's how you can vote. Also, I think it's worth mentioning, you guys, that we are at 8,948 subscribers, which is like 40 more than yesterday, which is me telling you where some of these votes are coming from. But we're 52 away from 9,000.
All right.
Which I think we should try to do that by Friday.
I think we should.
Do we have X's and O's guests tomorrow?
We don't have X's and O's guests.
No X's and O's guests. So maybe something exciting that Ryan Wiggins can do for us tomorrow should we get. Is there anything you're willing to commit to people?
How about this?
Uh-huh.
Yesterday, we talked a little bit about if you were having mail problems.
Oh, my gosh. Yes.
Sending your ballot in.
Yes, obviously.
You know, mail, M-A-I-L.
It happens to
a lot of people. Best of us. if we were to hit 9,000... I might be able to put together a commercial.
Solutions for
mail problems.
Mail problems.
Yeah. And maybe I'd bring in some voices and stuff, you know? Like, I'll try to have that ready for tomorrow.
Okay.
And if we hit 9,000,
we'll play.
Boom, it'll be ready. Yeah, let's go. Let's do it.
Are we going to get fired?
Yeah.
Are you going to get fired?
Yeah.
Am I going to get fired?
Yeah.
Oh, Christ. I got to change my weekend plans. Yeah,
Brad Range doing middays.
So we're supposed to be back in the regular studio tomorrow.
That's the goal.
I'm excited about that.
Yeah, we almost could have been back in the regular studio today, but it was kind of like a last minute. Nope, head on over to see.
Just for extra safety and security.
Yeah. Horseshoes and hand grenades.
So is that almost?
Almost.
Almost. Did anyone say almost?
It's close.
Did we say that?
It's close. Only counts.
Close only counts.
Not almost.
They're asking for the Annie Smells song. No. No.
The Annie Smells song.
That one.
Oh, yeah.
That one died in the old studio. It just didn't make it.
Who cares if it dies? It's already smelly.
The fortunate thing about this one
That's not what the song is about. It's not about my scent.
It could be.
Ryan
it
doesn't
isn't.
Have access to a computer that can play that here.
No. I hope I have that somewhere.
Maybe.
I'm sure I do.
I could put in a word to engineering.
The diaper drive is next Wednesday. I really hope that we get. I'm going to look at the weather right now, but that is one of my favorite things that we do all year. And last year we did Illinois, so I think we've gone St. Charles, Illinois, Collinsville, and now we're back to St. Charles. So I really, really, really hope that we are able to make a huge, huge impact for Princess Storm and her diaper drive. That's the one that we support. And when we first started doing this, it kind of goes back to a philosophy that I wish that as conservatives we would uphold more, which is the idea that we should not wait for things to get fixed for Republicans to be in office, which is, you know, a lot of the things that we complain about that aren't going our way. We're like, well, if a Republican gets in, then things will change. And there are a lot of things that we can impact and affect without any politicians getting involved. And generally speaking, if that possibility exists, you can impact in a bigger way by just participating in the solution. I mean, how many things do we talk about on a regular basis that we could actually, societal, cultural issues that we could make a difference on just by being more active instead of spending our time tweeting about it? I'll put myself at the front of the line of people who need to do better at this. But there are a lot of ways that we can make a strong impact. And so that kind of led us into, you know, when we started talking about the possibility of supporting Princess Storm's diaper drive, it's like, I don't want a partnership in this. I don't want to do my own diaper drive. I want to say, I see somebody doing something good and doing it well, and I want to say, what can I do to lift that up even more? And hope and pray that the Annie Fry Show listenership faithful want to do the same and show up in a big, impactful way to make Princess Storm's diaper drive even bigger. And so far, you guys have shown up in mass to do that. And I really hope that we have that Wednesday.
Yesterday, as I was getting ready to leave, the Storm had the president of the Diaper Drive Bank on her show. And so one of the things we're trying to do is work out a time where we can get her and Storm in to come in and talk to us about what they do over at the Diaper Bank. And we can get a chance to brag on you guys a little bit, too, because you guys are just, like Annie was saying, amazing. Is unreal how well you guys help.
It's good. It's local too. It's the St. Louis Area Food Bank, so it all stays here. I'm not, sorry, diapers. We do food too, so that's another one.
And that'll be in the, that we'll do that in December.
Yeah, and these are just great local charities, and it's good to know that you're helping people who, you know, we talk about inflation a lot. we probably don't talk about the sort of microeconomics of what happens when inflation hits people. It hits people at the bottom of the scale the most.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why you're seeing an increase in homelessness. That's why you're seeing these things, is because everybody kind of drops down a rung, and it makes it harder for people to make ends meet. We started this pretty much right when inflation was getting bad.
Yeah.
You know, if you think about it, I don't think we intended to do that, but we did. And it's great to see people turning out who have the means to sometimes just buy a little package of diapers. It's not, you know, some people show up with a truckload. That's been awesome.
Oh, man. We've had pallets of diapers delivered. And that was just hero's care, right?
Yeah, heroes that was heroes
showed
care.
Up and, you know, still props to them. The people that they were able to help in that process. Just it's a really awesome day. And we would love to share that day with you. Ryan, if we get to 9,000 subscribers, you said you would do what?
I will make a commercial for people who are having election problems.
No, that's not. Oh.
Well, they're having
mail
doctor.
Well, I just thought. I mean, this literally just in to me. It's apparently a rampant problem. Here's a.
Oh, okay, mail doctor.
Press release.
This is
the headline.
Okay, the headline is, Bost introduces bill to improve accountability for post office closures. So we're right on the money here.
I mean, we need to be... Is this real?
That's incredible. Is he listening?
I don't know. He's acting.
That's good. I'm glad that he's doing that.
He said, write me a law.
Congressman Mike Bost today introduced the Upending Secret Postal Shutdowns Act, the USPS. To prohibit the U.S. Postal Service from shutting down a post office under the guise of an emergency suspension without notifying impacted communities and providing a full justification for the course. So this is... We're right
we
over the target.
We should have him on tomorrow. Talk about this and then right afterwards.
We'll play that. One out of one interviewed congressman agree. Recommend. We need to interview like one other, so it can be one out of two or something like that. Right. Does it sound more legit? We've added three subscribers since then, so keep them coming.
Okay.
The YouTube live chat poll for today is, would you vote for a woman for president, yes or no? Ryan, your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, you vote for a woman for president. It's always just about who your values align with most, and you're never going to get 100% of what you want out of any candidate. That's why you have a primary process, but you always end up with
or
two.
Or not.
What's that? Oh, thank you very much.
That's how you get a woman.
Thank you. That's how you get a woman running for president. I kind of backed into that. It wasn't on purpose. But here we are. So, yeah, I would vote for a woman for president as long as she was the better of the candidates.
Brian said, I do prefer a man to be the leader of the United States, but I would vote for the right woman. Needless to say, Kamala is not the right woman. Is it wrong for Brian to say that he would prefer a man?
It's not wrong.
I'm going to say, yeah, it is. I think that it should be the person that is most qualified. So that on the other side then means it's wrong to say I would just vote for somebody because I would prefer to have a woman in there.
Like gender should never be the gender, leading preference.
Yeah, it shouldn't even be a preference.
It seems like what he's saying, though, is in a primary process where I like two candidates the same, I would pick the man over the woman.
If nothing better.
If that's like, if they were the same, all things being equal. I don't know. I'm putting words in his mouth a little bit, but...
Steve said, I'd vote for a woman, but not Kamala Harris. James said, I voted yes, but that would be predicated on her positions and dedication to our safety, our financial security, and our ability to stand as a country that others look up to and fear when necessary. And Lisa said, I would vote for a woman, but she has to be the right woman. I won't just vote just because she is a woman. Isn't that the whole point? I think, Lisa, you nailed it there. Spot on. Thank you to everybody who voted today. I'm kind of blown away. We have 444 votes right now, which is much higher than we traditionally do at this point in the show. Of those 444 votes, 74% of you said yes. 26% said no, you wouldn't vote for a woman. And I welcome all of our new subscribers to the Andy Fry Show YouTube channel. I think that's a pretty dominating poll. Thank you for being with us today. The Mark Reardon Show is going to come up here next. Reminder, put it on your calendars next Wednesday at the West Clay Street, St. Charles Ruler Foods. We will be broadcasting live out there. And we need you to come arms full of diapers to support Princess Storm's diaper drive. Mark Reardon Show next. Don't go away.